And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet, and I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. Welcome.
Welcome.
Our guests today are Cleo De Leon and Nicole Dimitman. They are the Texas marriage equality plaintiffs who aren't Mark and Vic, who've been on our show before. Cleo and Nicole, are you there?
Nicole's here. Hi.
Hi, Nicole. How
Welcome.
Are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Can you not hear?
Nope.
Now can you hear?
Yeah, that's much better.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Very good. We're having board issues here, Nicole.
Welcome.
Now, Nicole, there were two marriage equality cases.
Can you hear Cleo?
I cannot hear Cleo. No, can't hear Cleo.
Can't hear Cleo. Is she on? No. Are you guys on a landline?
No, we're on two separate cell phones.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. We're hearing you, Nicole.
She's trying to, she's on. She was put on hold. She was able to talk to someone earlier.
Yeah, we know she's there. Okay, we're trying to fix that in the back. Anyway, there are two cases, two marriage equality cases, basically, two couples. Mark and Vic sued to marry in Texas. And God,
right.
God did they get married. Boy, your suit was actually different. Tell us what you were suing for.
Well, so we've gotten married in Massachusetts. We've gone up to Massachusetts a few years ago and got married because we were getting ready to have some kids. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to, it's kind of the most conservative family value thing that you can do is to get married before, before you have kids.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. So that's what we did. We said, we waited for Texas to come around as long as we could. But we just got to the point where we couldn't wait any longer. So we went up to Massachusetts in 2009 and got married.
And Nicole, in our studio, Laurent did the same thing. They were together about 80 years, and they decided to have a child and got married before Laurent got pregnant.
Yes.
So is that not how it worked?
Something like that.
Something like that. I get confused.
Something like that?
Yeah. You did something really actually very conservative. You went up and got married. Were you ever activists before?
I wouldn't. I mean, we paid our monthly dues to certain groups like Equality Texas from mm-hmm. time to time and HRC, but I wouldn't say that we were ever really activists.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get started in this? Before the show, we were talking, and several of us, as these lawsuits were happening around the country, I think every married couple thought about it and said, I could do that. How do you even do it? How do you even go about filing this kind of lawsuit? So how did you go about doing this?
So we were, right after, very soon after the Windsor decision, we were contacted by a law firm that I had worked at when I first graduated from law school.
Mm.
And they were, there was a gentleman there by the name of Frank Zenger Castro who really wanted the firm to do something. He said, maybe it's time. I mean, that decision is pretty clear. Maybe it's time to do something in Texas. So I think because they knew me so well, we were some of the first people that they reached out to. And I guess that's what got the ball rolling.
Hmm. How did Mark and Vic come into this with you?
I think I think that Mark was a longtime friend of Frank as well, and I think they were also some of the first people that the firm contacted. Hmm. Just when they were even contemplating. The firm hadn't even made the decision to go forward. They were just trying to talk to people to see how our lives were affected and try to get a group together to sort of see if this was something that they should do.
Okay, so that answers our question because we were wondering, and some people may have even speculated that you went to another state with the intention of coming back to immediately sue, and that's not what happened.
No, not at all. In fact, we've been married for, we went up to Massachusetts in 2009. So,
okay.
You know, it was significantly before, before Windsor happened to you.
Yeah, because it's really only in the last, it was for about 3 years that all of these lawsuits, one after the other, started coming about.
Were either of you, well, you know, David posed this question to me, you know, because we got married way before it was legally around most of the country. We got married in Canada. Had we been approached to do the same thing, I probably would have been on board, but my husband's a little bashful, so I don't know. So I was wondering, were either of you hesitant to go along with it?
I think we were both hesitant to go along with it, but, you know, my wife served in the military. She comes from a long line of people who serve, and even though she is actually very bashful, she's just one of those people that when there's an opportunity to serve any cause that she believes in, she just doesn't hesitate. She just says, let's do it. And I've always admired her greatly for that.
Awesome.
It's pretty outstanding to be able to put yourself out there really on behalf of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Texans. And thank you. Thank you both for doing that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What was it like to sue Governor Rick Perry? What does that feel like?
Well, he was actually governor for a very short amount of time. I guess we sued two governors, right?
Mm-hmm.
We sued Perry and then we sued Abbott because they were both kind of straddling the lawsuit. And because Abbott was sort of the attorney general while we, you know, at the inception of the suit, and then he became the governor, I think we sort of, I don't know, I thought about Abbott a lot. I didn't really think about Perry.
Mm-hmm. And the way you said he was sort of the attorney general, he's also only sort of the governor.
Right, exactly. Sorry, he was actually the attorney general and actually is the governor.
Not in my world.
Right.
Once you filed this lawsuit, what kind of reaction did you get? Even from friends, did they say, oh, great, you're doing this? Or was it more like, oh, you people are nuts?
It was you people are nuts.
Yeah.
There was also a lot of, when we filed this lawsuit, there weren't lots and lots of other lawsuits that had been filed across the country. Our suit was among a handful of first initial lawsuits that were being filed around the country. So there was a lot of, you know, are you sure this is a good idea? What if your case goes up to the Supreme Court? I don't think that the Supreme Court is going to do another marriage equality case that, you know, back to back. The country's not ready. If you lose, you set us back 20 years. So there was a lot of angst around, you know, pushing too far, too fast. And then, you know, I had family members that were concerned about our safety. So there was a lot of support, but there was also a lot of concern and a lot of angst.
Can you talk a little bit about the kind of reaction, if there was any reaction, from other LGBTQ organizations, well-known ones like
Lambda Legal,
Legal or Freedom to Marry, you know, because, you know, for those who don't know, in the fight for civil rights, regardless of what group you belong to, there's a lot of strategizing that goes into when you're filing lawsuits against discriminatory laws. So, and the reason for that is you don't want to make a mistake that'll set you back. So,
right.
So you went you went with a private firm and not one of these kind of well-known organizations. Did any of them reach out to you and say, "Hey, can we join in?" Or did some of them even tell you not to do it?
I don't know I think some of that may have happened, but it didn't include us. So I think there might have been conversations that may have happened with the attorney. But I can tell you this: one of the first people I called when we were thinking about whether or not to do this was Chuck Smith at Equality Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We figured he would be in a good position to advise us about what it might be like to be a plaintiff. You know, how is this really going to turn our lives around and just, you know, really just change our day to day? And he just had so much encouragement for us. And so from the inception, Equality Texas stood behind us and put money, you know, into helping us spread the word and change hearts and minds. And then towards the end, I think they even got together with Freedom to Marry, mm-hmm. and collaborated with an organization that was born and I think dissolved after the case was concluded, Marriage for Texas.
When you say they contributed a lot of money, how much money did this lawsuit actually cost? And it didn't cost you because there was Akin Gump did it pro bono, an awful lot of, you know, all the everything that everybody else contributed. It was all contributed. It was, but have you heard an actual cost for your case
or ballpark?
So ballpark for the law firm. I think it was in $1.5 million in
wow.
attorney's fees, mm-hmm. plus $200 to $300 of actual hard cash in kind that they spent in expenses. So it would have been a lot of money had we had to pay for it.
Right.
And you know, they did at the end of it turn around and sue to get some attorney's fees back, and they were awarded a significant sum. So
yeah, I think it was like $2.2 million or something they were awarded.
They were awarded between $600,000 and $700,000.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think the $2.2 million has to do with other things. And other groups that sued also
maybe,
to get
yeah.
money. Yeah, yeah.
But I'll
yeah.
tell you what, to Akin Gump's credit, not one penny of that is going to the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Basically, it went right into their pro bono fund so that mm-hmm. they could continue to do some good work for some other causes.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Your lead attorney was Neil Lane, and I've met Neil. I met him once. I've spoken on the phone to him because I write for Dallas Voice. I spoke on the phone with him a number of times, and he's a straight guy, but boy, does he get it.
Yeah.
What's special about Neil?
What isn't special about mm-hmm. Neil? You know, Neil and I have we have a history that goes, you know, before this lawsuit, because he was the hiring manager who hired me when I was a baby lawyer. So, you know, I knew him, and I had great affection for him before. I knew that he was a stalwart, fighter for equality. Mm-hmm. I've known that he's been sort of, you know, I mean, he's in private practice. It's not what he does for a living in terms of civil rights law, but I knew that he wanted a fight like this at some point in his life and in his career. And to hear him advocate at the district court level, and then when he went up to the Fifth Circuit, I mean, Cleo and I were both crying mm-hmm. both times, because it's so rare for someone to be, a stranger to your cause, to really be able to put themselves in your shoes and feel it as if it's with their own skin. He's just an amazing person. And, his family goes back into Texas for years. And I think his family is associated with the term Maverick, the original term Maverick, mm-hmm. because
the unbranded cows.
The unbranded right. cows belonged to one of his ancestors.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now he's a big supporter of Sarah Palin.
No, he's not.
Well, I remember sitting in the gallery on the press side for the Fifth Circuit arguments, and I was very grateful for that experience to be able to sit through all three cases. But I thought it was just amazing when Neil got up to speak, because he just crushed the Texas Solicitor General guy, who I thought was the most compelling moment was when he was talking about how gay people can't have kids. And Nicole, you were sitting there as pregnant as could be.
Yeah, and I was 7 months pregnant at the time. Mm-hmm.
So. 7 months, wow. And I just remember just like, wow, the irony here. And the whole room knew it, you know?
Yeah.
The justices knew it. The judges knew it. Everybody knew it. And what did that feel like? That must have been really strange.
Or empowering.
Yeah, I mean, it was very strange, because it was very strange that they were continuing to perpetuate the same argument, that they didn't, you know, decide to go off in a different direction, that you just pressed on despite the fact that one of the named plaintiffs was 7 months pregnant. And we
right there, biggest life too. You're right,
right
in the room.
Not like I wasn't even there. So
well, but one thing we've learned with the right wing very often is that facts don't make a difference.
Right, that is true.
So yeah.
Well, the problem is that we argue over facts, and I think that's a big problem in our country right now. Is that you know we just don't operate under the same set of facts, and I think it's very 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 damaging to our country and. You know, it's a real shame. It's a concern. It's a personal concern of mine. I don't know what to do about it. But it is a shame. And yeah, they just, you know, they just proceeded as if I wasn't even pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had a pillow under your shirt?
Clearly. Mm-hmm. Clearly.
You know what? We need to take a break. We're taking a minute early. We're at a breaking point. We're talking to Nicole Dimmittman. She's there with Cleo. Cleo, we can't get on the phone. But maybe Cleo will chime in sometime during the next segment. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and LaRon Landis. We're talking to Cleo and Nicole, who were the Texas Marriage Equality plaintiffs, or one set of them. And they'll be back with us right after this. And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. We're talking to Cleo DeLeon and Nicole Dimmittman. They were the Texas Marriage Equality plaintiffs. And we have Nicole on the phone. Cleo, are you there? No, we're not. That line is just not coming into the board.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah. So, Nicole, we're talking about. We were just talking before the break a little bit about the Fifth Circuit. Before we get to the Fifth Circuit, Orlando Garcia is a U.S. District Judge in San Antonio. Did you know anything about him before the case was heard?
Hey, so I think Cleo is just going to speak through this phone.
Good. Okay.
So we can kind of pipe in together. Good. Hi.
Hi, Cleo. How are you?
Hi there.
I'm here. Hello.
Welcome.
You might also hear our son in the background.
That's always a good thing.
It's family, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, what I was just asking was, before we even get to the Fifth Circuit, which we were talking about a little bit before the break, with the U.S. District Judge, with that court, you know, you don't go into court in Texas expecting a real liberal ruling. What did you know about Orlando Garcia, the U.S. District Judge in San Antonio who heard your case?
Well, the benefit of going in front of the federal judiciary is that, you know, even though you're in Texas, and it's true, the district is very conservative, mm-hmm. but even though you're in Texas, you do have a shot at getting somebody in who's a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And I think he was a Clinton appointee. And so, but he's, you know, he's not the most liberal person in the world. So, you know, we didn't know. What was going to happen until we got there. And then I kind of felt like that day listening to the questioning, you know, you always walk away from one of those things with a feeling, and we had a pretty good feeling after walking away from that one.
Were there certain questions that he asked that you said, oh, he gets it?
Yeah. And honestly, he was making a lot of eye contact. This is Cleo. He was making a lot of eye contact with us, and I have a tendency to be a terrible poker player, so like mm-hmm. I'm sure he could read every emotion that was going on and every thought that was going on in my head as the attorney, the Solicitor General was making his case and doing it poorly.
But in these cases, I think that's important because people who are against gay people and against gay rights and trans rights, they don't see the LGBT community as people. So he was looking at you and making eye contact because he was looking at a person.
Right. And I felt just by doing that, by making that eye contact, I felt like he was actually listening. He was really absorbing the information, and he was taking cues from us as well. Mm-hmm. And so that gave me a really positive feeling about the outcome.
You know, we have several anniversaries coming up for all of us. In fact, Wednesday, I believe, is the anniversary, the 12th anniversary of the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruling that initiated the whole thing with marriage equality in the state of Massachusetts, lo those many years ago. And then at the end of February is the we here in Dallas have a celebration at the end of February because of the same day two things happened that day. We passed the Dallas Equality Resolution with the Dallas City Council, which has changed enormous things. But on that same very day, we got the ruling from Judge Garcia. Mm-hmm. Did you guys just like what was that like to hear that ruling in that moment?
We've quoted this. I mean, this is a pretty common question, and it really is one of the top, I guess now it's top four best days of our lives. You know, it was the day we got married, the day we had our children, and then, you know, this was number four. Mm-hmm. The day that we heard that Judge Garcia, you know, ruled mm-hmm. in our favor.
How old are your kids?
Our oldest is 3.5, and our youngest is kind of fun, 11 months.
Yeah.
3.5.
Baby.
And yet, LaRon is going to tell you that you might be down to just two best days in your life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe come handfuls.
There's a funny story around, you know, when we heard, for whatever reason, the media must have been hounding. Somehow, somebody in the media got wind that a decision might be coming down on that day.
Yeah.
And so that made its way over to us. And so we were sort of waiting on pins and needles for a call from our attorneys. And as it happens, Cleo was putting our son down for a nap.
And we just happened to be in San Antonio, honestly, because our son had gone through an inpatient
outpatient surgery
to put tubes in his ear. So,
oh wow!
So we were in San Antonio, staying with family, and Cleo was in the room with him, and I got the call, and he's been notoriously a very poor sleeper, so it's like you don't go in there when he's asleep, you don't go in there when someone's trying to get him to sleep. But I just creeped in there, and I mouthed the words, "We won." And Cleo stifled, you know, all kinds of screeches and screams, and she had this young man, you know, I think he was 15 months at the time, you know, just stifling all of that emotion, and then put him down and then came out, and then we celebrated. But it was kind of an interesting moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of muffled it, but for delay, a little bit of a delay there.
Was there anything in the ruling, because I didn't read it this way, but I don't remember now, that specifically talked about you?
About us?
About you as a couple.
The ruling took turns discussing Mark and Vic and discussing us because, first of all, we were in different positions. They were suing to get married, and we were suing to get our marriage recognized. They were a couple without kids, and we were a couple with kids. So there were enough differences in the facts and circumstances that absolutely the decision mentioned each of us in turn.
Mm-hmm. When you read it and you're reading about yourself,
yeah,
isn't that an odd feeling?
No, you know what? It felt great. It felt somebody was. It was not because it was about me or us as individuals, but because it was about people like us.
Mm-hmm.
It felt so incredibly and intensely validating. Finally, somebody important, somebody in a position of power to make a difference in our lives, was really understood it and was making a decision that was going to impact not only our lives but a lot of people.
Was there anything in there that you, when you were reading it, that you said, "Oh, I can't believe he picked up on that"?
I don't remember.
Don't remember anything like that. Okay. Okay.
So that now that you know, Patty was just talking about anniversaries. Do you all have now another personal anniversary date that you celebrate, or you just stick to your anniversary marriage date?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have two. We have two anniversaries. The day that we met each other and decided to become a couple, the day that we got married, and then I would say that February would definitely
be a third anniversary.
That's the anniversary of the date that my home state recognized us as a couple.
Hmm. Awesome.
That's nice.
I remember in the Fifth Circuit, as each state's plaintiffs came into the room, it was such a joy to see them because it was this was their moment. This was your moment for Texas, and there were the Mississippi plaintiffs, and then there were the Louisiana plaintiffs. And I thought, wow, what was that like when you all met? Having traveled this path really together, but not really, in person together and talking and such. And have you had occasion to meet with other plaintiffs from other states around the country? Because you're in a pretty exclusive club.
Yes, that's something that Nicole actually does a lot of online marketing, and she had the foresight to create an online Facebook group that sort of invited all of these plaintiffs from across the country to participate in. And it was interesting because we were all kind of going through it together at different stages, and you could kind of see like, oh, they had a great newspaper quote, or, their court case is a little bit different from ours, and my lawyer said this, what do you guys think? And so it was kind of a support group. And over time, especially once Freedom to Marry came on board, we started going to a few of these get-togethers. There was one in Louisiana when we had the Fifth Circuit hearing, and we got to meet a lot of the different plaintiffs from Louisiana and Arkansas and Mississippi. And so it's been an incredible experience, and we all share that connection. I don't know if you saw, there was a newspaper article about Michael DeLeon, who is the spouse of Michael Burke. He's one of the Kentucky plaintiffs that
made it to the
Supreme Court. He's actually a long-lost cousin of mine. And so,
oh, wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
That amazing?
It is. It really is. And so we've been like hacking away at the ancestry.com trying to like find that connection. And say, oh, yeah, we're cousins. And so it's just been a really neat experience. And his family's from San Antonio, too, so we share that connection as well. But it's been an amazing journey, and to have those people come along with us and to make those connections has been really special.
That's going to be something that you'll be able to celebrate. Maybe you'll have a reunion in 5 or 10 years and do something with the whole group, all the plaintiffs in the country.
I was very, very pregnant when the arguments happened in front of the Supreme Court. Otherwise, we would have gone. We did not get an opportunity to go. There was a big, 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 big reception for all the plaintiffs from around the country, and we really wish we would have been able to meet them. But I was, at that point, like 8.5 months pregnant. So I was definitely in the no-fly zone of my pregnancy.
I just wanted to ask, do you know how many plaintiffs there were? How many cases were there around the country?
Oh, gosh. You know what? I don't know that number, but there were hundreds of plaintiffs.
There were hundreds of plaintiffs. Okay, but I think it was only about 60 to 65 cases, if I remember correctly.
That sounds like a good number. But there were, for every case, there were at least two
plaintiffs,
like,
right.
At least one couple, right? Mm-hmm. And some of the states had like Louisiana, I don't know how many couples they had.
I think they had like four different couples.
Yeah, there were lots of Louisiana plaintiffs.
Mm-hmm. They took up two pews and the two benches in the Fifth Circuit.
For couples who've been together for, gay and lesbian couples who've been together for 5, 10 plus years, and then they get married, one of the most common questions is, how does it feel? Does it feel any different? Well, you're like Patty said, you're really in an exclusive group. How does it feel afterwards? How's life been since you won your lawsuit? You guys are legally, you've been legally married, but now that it's recognized in your home state, and you won. How does it feel? How's life been since?
It's been an incredible year. We had a baby. We went through this whole experience with the case, and then on top of that, we have our preschooler here. That's so much fun to hang out with. I mean, I can honestly say we probably have too much on our plate to really sit there and have that kind of introspective feeling. I'm sure that when that anniversary rolls around next month and we celebrate it, that I think it's all going to come bubbling up, and maybe we'll be able to have a better answer at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can say that I had been referring to Cleo as my wife for some time. But referring to Cleo as my wife before the decision felt like, I mean, I was doing it because that's who she was. I mean, mm-hmm. She was my wife. But to make a point of referring to her publicly as my wife felt like, an act of rebellion somehow. Mm-hmm. And now it doesn't, right? Now it's just like, that's who she is.
I totally relate to that. I really do.
Do you know what I've noticed since the Supreme Court decision? I've had more people refer to me and my partner as, "Oh, David, yeah, you and your husband," and just
oh,
do it. Yeah, and just do it very comfortably and naturally. Now we're getting married in June, but you know, and we're not married, but people are comfortable with that now.
Yep.
I don't know if it's because they've heard it a lot more on TV. They've read it in the newspaper. AP has, you know, on Marriage Equality Week, came out with a new AP style about how you're supposed to refer to a man and his husband, a woman and her wife. And it just seems like people picked up on that. And the people that I'm talking about are probably people who, they weren't against us. They were probably for us, but it just didn't affect their lives. So,
right.
you know, it's okay if you won. Congratulations. Because if this is something good for you, it doesn't affect me one way or the other. But that's the one that I've noticed, that, you know, going on to what you were saying about it being more honest just to say it yourself, is that other people are comfortable with it now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't noticed that. Now I'm going to keep my eyes open.
Yeah.
My ears open, I guess.
You'll hear it.
Right.
So, what's interesting is David and Brian are going to get married this year, and my partner Aaron and I are going to get married this year as well. And we know like all the judges in Dallas County, but we haven't set a date or made final arrangements yet. But we're looking to judge state district family judge Tina Callahan will be performing our vows out of
we could have who Tina is.
Tina Callahan was one of the first judges in the state to declare the Prop 2 constitutional amendment unconstitutional in the state of Texas.
Nice. She was the first.
Very good.
And it was actually a kind of a funny case because it was a divorce case. And two men who had gotten married, I believe, in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. and were Texas residents and living here, and they went to get divorced. And this is the bigotry that lives on in Texas. Why we still have 2106 on the books, I think, you know, because it's like if we recognize a divorce, then that means we're recognizing marriage, and we just can't do that, you know.
Yeah. It's
so
like
we'd rather they stay.
Yeah.
We'd rather they stay married.
Yeah, it was just
even though we don't
thing.
Recognize the marriage, but some states do, and they're married. Yeah, Neil Lane was talking about that one, and I think he was involved in it somehow.
Well, I just know for it seemed like forever Callahan couldn't even speak to anybody because the case was still, you know, moving through the courts.
It wasn't Neil, but it was an Aiken Gump case, and it was at the Supreme Court. They finally agreed to hear it and then didn't rule on it for a year and a half or something like that.
Yeah, it was Jody Shesky, I think.
That's who it was,
yes.
right.
Yep.
He was a former Aiken Gump attorney. Aiken Gump is a wonderful law firm with a proud history of civil rights activism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, they certainly did us well, and you did too. You know, this whole thing just makes me so proud to be a Texan. I know Nate Silver, who's the guy that does all the great predictions and is like, you know, nailed the last, you know, three election cycles down to the, you know, electoral votes per state, said that we wouldn't get it in Texas until 2018. Mm-hmm. And by golly.
Boy, was he wrong about that one.
Yeah, on the better end, you know.
Yeah,
I thought, oh, he'll be wrong and we won't be, you know, we'll be last. In fact, we had a long-running joke on the show about whether Texas would actually be the last to implement it, would be the kicking and dragging their feet too.
Yeah, and Kentucky and Alabama beat us. I'm real disappointed.
Yeah, we thought we'd be the last mm-hmm. ones.
I want to ask you about after the Fifth Circuit heard the three cases, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas, they never ruled. How disappointing was that?
Incredibly. My God, we were so upset. With every passing day, as I grew more and more and more pregnant, And we just really wanted our daughter to be born, you know, into a recognized marriage. And, you know, God bless Neil. He tried everything he could to try to get those folks to realize that we were, you know, that our harm wasn't speculative. It was going to happen. And so because of that, they needed to act. And we really felt like we had a good day that day. I mean, we really felt like we had at least, well, we had two votes. Mm-hmm. Not at least two, because we knew for sure we didn't have that third vote of that conservative justice. But we felt like we had two votes, and you know, maybe we didn't. You know, and I don't know. I have no idea why they didn't want to or choose to have their voices heard. It seemed like with a case of such importance to the nation, you know, that and knowing that it was going up to the Supreme Court, that the judges would want their voices heard. But mm-hmm. it was incredibly frustrating. I mean, there were expletives in this house.
I bet.
I can imagine.
That were uttered. We were very frustrated. And still disappointed. I mean, besides, we had worked so hard for our victory, and then sent to go all the way up to the Fifth Circuit, and we won. And it felt like, you know, it felt like that victory had been taken away from us somehow. You know, we really wanted to bring marriage equality to Texas.
We right. need to take one more quick break. Can you stick with us for a few more minutes?
We can sure try.
Okay, good. They have some sick kids, which is why I'm even asking that. But if you have to break away, we understand. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with LaRon Landis and the late Patty Fink, and we'll be back with more right after this. And this is Lambda Weekly, and we're talking to the Texas Marriage Equality plaintiffs Cleo DeLeon and Nicole Dimitman. They're the ones who were suing for Texas having to recognize their Massachusetts marriage. Mark and Vic, who've been on our show before, Mark and Vic were suing for the right to have a huge wedding in Texas. and do I still have Nicole and Cleo?
We're still here.
Okay, great. Yay. With the Fifth Circuit, it seemed pretty obvious. I wasn't there, but I read every word of it. It was one of those fascinatingly uninteresting, but yeah, it was fascinating. Court transcripts. There were a number of things. There was one judge who was appointed by Obama. He was on our side. There was one judge that was appointed by, who was the right-wing one? George H.W. Bush, I think. We did not have his vote. And Higginbotham was a Reagan appointee who has a reputation.
From here, in fact.
He's from Dallas. But he has a reputation of being fair and even being a swing vote. And he has voted a number of times with this Obama appointee over the last couple of years since he was appointed. It was disappointing to everybody that they didn't write a decision, because Higginbotham especially said a number of things that really made you feel like he's not putting up with any of this BS. At the end of the Mississippi hearing, and you were there, Patty, so mm-hmm. you can probably describe it better, when the lawyers from Mississippi were arguing that it should be a state's rights thing.
I can't remember the quote exactly. It was attorney Roberta Kaplan, who had done the Windsor win at the Supreme Court, was representing Mississippi, and it was something about when the people vote, evolve, basically. I can't remember the quote exactly, but he's like that's ever going to happen. It was
said we've heard those words in our
calls
before. Yeah. About Mississippi. You were feeling pretty good after the Fifth Circuit, though, weren't you?
Is that a question for us?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, we were. Higginbotham absolutely said some things. We really walked out of there thinking that we had it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? What's more, I think the other side walked out of there thinking they didn't have it. So I think it was pretty unanimous on both sides that we felt that the court was on our side. And so it was... even more disappointing that they chose not to rule.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was so interesting being there and not, you know, having ever attended a, you know, a U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, anything, and experiencing it with the staff. The staff at that building and that court were just going nuts because they'd never in their entire careers dealt with anything like this, with the big overflow room, with, you know, people wanting to get into the court.
It was a gay event. It was catered.
Oh, it was incredible. And they were just freaking out a little bit about, you know, this is the first time they've ever encountered that many people wanting mm-hmm. to see a case. And I thought, wow, well, that's pretty interesting.
I think, though, that part of that, and we actually have some people that were involved with the case that was heard before. There was a case of, about the Planned Parenthood
the same week.
And a lot of those same people on both sides of the argument decided to stay in town because it's kind of like the same two camps, you know, at each other's throats, the conservatives and the liberals. And so we had a lot of those supporters hang around to see our case, and I'm pretty sure they also had a lot of the protesters as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. True. Very true.
I wanted to digress on another topic, if you don't mind, for a second, and that has to do with birth certificates. Your child, your youngest baby, was born after this, and since marriage equality has been now nationwide, here in Texas there's been an issue trying to get corrected or applicable birth certificates issued. Has that been an issue for you all?
Yeah, we actually, at the end of the year, we submitted some paperwork. Our lawyer, our family lawyer, is Suzanne Bryant. She gave us some clear instructions, the specific forms to fill out, the documentation that we needed to submit in support of those forms. And we sent that on. And, you know, we expected to receive something early this year that you know, was a corrected birth certificate. And it turns out there's actually an additional form that wasn't necessarily anticipated. And so we're having to jump through, you know, another set.
It's probably a deliberately, you know.
Yeah.
They've thrown another wrench in our path. Just because.
So we're having to go to the notary public again and submit copies of our photo IDs and things like that. I mean, it's just another thing that we need to do in order to get our paperwork straight. But, you know, we've played ball. We have our adoption papers. We have our medical power of attorneys. We have our wills and our estate planning all done, you know, because it is Texas, and you never know who you're going to have to deal with in the event of an emergency.
Well, I'm really curious, as you navigate life there in Austin and in visiting San Antonio and wherever you go, does anybody recognize you as the plaintiffs in this case?
Oh, God, we don't really get out that often.
Yeah, Patty, they have two kids.
Maybe at the HEB they know, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny, you know, having an infant and you know, a preschooler, it's hard to keep up with. I think our most frequent outings are to his school and maybe to HEB, and that's it.
So people don't really recognize us. But I think what happens is people think they've met us before. They just don't know where they've met us before.
Oh.
So that's what it is. And so there's no right way of saying, you might have seen us on the cover of Texas Monthly. So we just say, no, I don't think we've met, but it's great to meet you now.
Mm-hmm. And that, by the way, was a spectacular move. I remember when that Texas Monthly came out, I was actually out of the country, and I saw it on Facebook, the cover, and that was just spectacular. Yeah. What a great experience, too.
Yeah, we took a lot of photographs of our home because they came to our home to take that cover. Mm. But we were not allowed to share those pictures with anyone prior to, you know, to the article coming out. But I remember taking those pictures and telling Cleo, and this part of the photo album will be entitled "When the Circus Came to Town."
That's exactly how that can be sometimes.
Well, but see, they documented you along that moment in the journey, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, it was a really amazing experience. I mean, the level of professionalism of from Texas Monthly was incredible, and mm-hmm. You know, it was an honor to work with them and to have that experience.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lauren was talking about birth certificates just before. After the marriage ruling by the Supreme Court, okay, everybody could get married except in a few places, but basically anywhere in the country you could get married. I think what really surprised people was, okay, now you have to be able to change death certificates. Now you have to change birth certificates. Now you have to honor this couple... this couple's request for...
A name change,
yeah.
Or honor a name change made in California, you mm-hmm. know, and applies here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of stuff.
In preparing for the case, had you and your attorneys or had your attorneys discussed what happens after a marriage ruling? Because this isn't just a simple, you know, yes or no ruling, up or down. Like a lot of cases are, you know, if they vote yes, it goes this way. If they vote no, it goes that. There's lots of other stuff that people didn't even think about. You'd thought about it, though, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, even the best attorneys were unclear as to what additional – most of the attorneys we spoke to who were, you know, thinking about these issues knew that there were going to be some additional steps,
mm-hmm.
but nobody really knew how many of those additional steps. For instance, the legal community was unclear as to whether or not adoption would still be necessary after the ruling.
Right.
If a child was born inside of a marriage in Texas, there's common law, there's case law. It's not legislative, but there's case law that says that the child is presumed to be a child of both parents, but as our family attorney pointed out, you know, a presumption is not law. And what if you travel? So, mm-hmm. you know, there was a while before the ruling came down, where finally she said she began advising people that no, you don't have to go through an adoption, but you still need a court order saying that this is a child of both parents. So it's less intrusive than the adoption process, but you still needed a court order. So it's things like that that sort of had to get worked out. And I think lawyers and the judges needed to come together and try to figure out, okay, what's the process here for doing X, Y, and Z? And you know what? You know, we might find that that process might even differ from one area of Texas to the next,
because mm-hmm.
There's more than one way to skin a cat, right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
and different presumptions.
Right, exactly. It's a presumption. So, what, you know, in San Antonio, and I don't know what the case is in San Antonio, but in San Antonio or Barrett County, they might choose to say, no, you still need to go through the adoption process, mm-hmm. The second turn adoption, you know, and in Travis County, they might say, no, you just need an order.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's not what Orlando Garcia ruled, though, and you're right, that might end up happening, but did it surprise you, first of all? Garcia's decision was brilliantly written. It was like, it was delightful to read, but after the Supreme Court decision, what happened was the Fifth Circuit, they didn't have a decision to affirm, so the Fifth Circuit affirmed Garcia's decision for Texas. And then that's the case that stayed open. So when one man from Conroe, Texas, wanted his husband's death certificate to not read...
single.
No, it didn't say single. It said... I can't even think of the word anymore. And he wanted it changed to husband. It didn't say partner. I forgot what it said. But he wanted it changed, and Garcia ordered it. But he didn't just order that. It was Neil Lane, your attorney, representing this man. And then Garcia turned to Neil and said, okay, where else aren't we equal? And birth certificates was the other thing. and he ordered them to immediately change that. It turned out to be more complicated. They didn't come up with rules immediately. It took 2 or 3 weeks. But then at the end of the year, a really amazing thing happened. Not only were they changing birth certificates for gay couples and their children, but transgender birth certificates. They're giving them an amended, or not an amended, they're giving them a new birth certificate with the recognized sex.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
That's new.
That's amazing.
It's just
great.
A few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But you know where this is a marriage issue? If a man and a woman were married and they had a kid and the man has transitioned now to be a woman, that kid's birth certificate is inaccurate now.
Right.
So now you can change the birth certificate so that that kid has an accurate birth certificate listing as two moms.
Right. Yeah.
But that's Garcia. That's not going on in other states.
Right.
He has amazed me. And so has Neil for even coming up with some of these things. Although I know how he did it because I called his office with a question and he started asking me, are there any other things that you know of that I can present to Judge Garcia? Judge Garcia is having none of this. But apparently Judge Garcia was just furious that everybody in Texas was not listening to his decision. So,
well, certainly Kim Paxton wasn't, and
yeah,
you know, that was kind of a moment of great schadenfreude.
Yeah, so having sweetness. Having sued actually Paxton, well, no, you didn't really sue Paxton, you really sued Abbott, and I was going to say
it wasn't the whole enforcement thing.
Yeah.
They weren't going to enforce it. He told them, the clerks around the state, you know, basically, we got your back, and he was up for contempt. It was great. It was great.
We are almost out of time. Do you have any other really funny stories that happened along the way, or some real bad ones that happened along the way, as you were preparing for trial or after trial?
Not really. I think you brought out some of the better stories. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think we've covered it.
Good.
Lauren. No, I was going to say, well, thank you. Thank you very much for sharing.
Yeah, thank you both for being on, and I know that's hard with your kids being sick, and I hope you guys don't catch cooties, too, in the process.
We're trying to manage the cootie-filled household. And now you can hear the baby. She's woke up from her nap.
Right.
Say hi.
Hi. You there?
You got quiet as soon as I put the phone in front of
you. Always the way.
Cleo and Nicole, I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for
joining us, and we'll catch up with you in maybe an anniversary and find out how it's going.
Fantastic. Sounds great. Great. Looking forward to it.
Good. Thank you for being with us. That was Cleo DeLeon and Nicole Dimitman. They were the Texas Marriage Equality plaintiffs from Austin who were suing to force Texas to recognize marriages from other states like they do for anybody else. Next week, we have it's David's health checkup week.
David's mental health checkup.
Mental health checkup week, yes.
None other than Candy Markham
will be on. I want to take this off of me and look at our Facebook page, but we're going to invite people to come into the studio next week. We can have you help us answer the phones because it is a certain time of year. But we'd love people, if you'd like to come to the studio, look at our Facebook page. I'm going to put something up tomorrow. And I'm saying that because I know I'll get home. I always go to sleep after the show. I'm tired. We'd love to have people come visit us in the studio. And if you do, come with a question for Candy.
Because I bet she's got an answer or an opinion.
Mm-hmm. She does.
I just bet.
Week after is Erin.
Haven't confirmed with her yet. She's been out of town. She just came in right before I came up over to the studio.
I was going
to
say, Lauren, so you have trouble getting in touch with Erin?
No, it just hasn't come up.
Hasn't come up.
But we'll confirm.
Well, Erin, I'm sure you're listening. I'm inviting you, even if Patty isn't. for all of us at Lambda Weekly. We will see you next week.
See ya.